Ignatia sighed heavily and said, "I see no alternative." He twisted his face into a mask of suffering. There was no use fighting Fortuna until the cycle was over.
"You realize, of course, that this is all your fault. The progress of my work will be greatly delayed. I suggest that you go to your confessor and make some penance, Mother. Promise him that you will avoid the path of sin and drinking in the future. Tell him what the consequence of your moral failure has been. Let him know that you have delayed the completion of a monumental indictment against our society. Perhaps he will comprehend the magnitude of your failing. If he is my type of priest, the penance will no doubt be rather strict. However, I have learned to expect little from today's clergyman."
"I'm going to be good, Ignatius. You'll see."
"There, there. I shall find some employment, although it will not necessarily be what you would call a good job. I may have some valuable insights which may benefit my employer. Perhaps the experience can give my writing a new dimension. Being actively engaged in the system which I criticize will be an interesting irony in itself."
Ignatius belched loudly.
"If only Myrna Minkoff could see how low I've fallen."
"What that girl's doing now?"
Mrs. Riley asked suspiciously.
"I put out good money for you to go to college, and you have to pick up with somebody like that."
"Myrna is still in New York, her native habitat. No doubt she is trying to taunt the police into arresting her in some demonstration at this very moment."
"She sure used to get me nervous playing on that guitar of hers all over this house. If she's got money, like you said, maybe you should have married her. You two might have settled down and had a nice baby or something."
"Do I believe that such obscenity and filth is coming from the lips of my own mother?" Ignatius bellowed. "Now run along and fix me some dinner. I must be at the theater on time. It's a circus musical, a heralded excess which I have been waiting to see for some time. We study the water ads tomorrow."
"I'm so proud you're going to work at last,"
Mrs. Riley said emotionally, and kissed her son somewhere in his damp mustache.
"Look at that old gal,"
Jones mused to his psyche as the bus bounced and threw him against the woman sitting beside him.
"She think 'cause I color I gonna rape her. She about to throw her grandma ass out the window. Whoa, I ain't gonna rape nobody."
He moved discreetly away from her, crossing his legs and wishing that he could smoke on the bus. He wondered who the fat cat in the green cap was who was suddenly all over town. Where would that fat mother show up next? There was something ghostly about that green cap freak.
"Well, I'm going to tell that police I gainfully employ, keep him off my back, tell him I met up with a humanitarian paying me $20 a week. He say, 'That fine boy, I'm glad to see you straighten out.' And I say, 'Hey!' And he say, 'Now maybe you be becoming a member of the community.' And I say, 'Yeah, I got me a nigger job and nigger pay. Now I really a member of the community. Now I a real nigger. No vagrant, just nigger. Whoa! What kind of change you got?